In studio with me this morning on Ag Matters Radio is Kyla Byers from Arctic Harvest Deliveries. And about halfway through the show, we're expecting our second guest to call in. That's Cindy Carnes from the Alaska Cold Climate Permaculture Institute. That is a mouthful. I hope that Cindy has an acronym for us to use. And Cindy is going to specifically talk about an exciting guest, a really famous farmer that's coming to Alaska in May. And we're all excited for that visit and for the different opportunities to speak with that famous farmer that's coming to Alaska. So you'll have to listen in this morning to find out who that is. But I want to jump in with Kyla. I asked Kyla to join me this morning to talk about a number of things that she's involved with. And I met Kyla. I was trying to think, Kyla, what year it was that you worked for me at the Division of Agriculture. How long ago was that? Like seven? Five.
It was quite a few years ago.
5 or 6 years ago. Yeah. Kyla was an intern. Well, no, you were a VISTA volunteer first, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. She was a VISTA volunteer at the Division of Agriculture with us. And since you have gone on to have this business called Arctic Harvest Deliveries. So let's just jump right into that. What is Arctic Harvest Deliveries?
Arctic Harvest, we do local produce. So we source local produce from local farmers and mostly in the Matsu Valley. And we wholesale to restaurants, a couple grocery stores, and we also run a CSA or Community Supported Agriculture Program.
Okay.
So folks can order subscription veggie boxes to get delivered to different drop sites around Anchorage throughout the summer. And we also have a winter session as well.
Nice. Very good. So you are taking Matt Valley vegetables into restaurants in Anchorage, and yay that you're doing that because there's a lot of restaurants that want the product, right?
Yeah, definitely.
And there's a lot of farmers who don't want to spend their time driving back and forth to Anchorage making deliveries, right? So you're kind of the middleman,
right?
The middle woman.
Yes, middle woman.
And am I correct in mentioning that this was the brainchild of Delicious Dave Thorne, right? You bought the business from him.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And what did he call it before?
Alaska Root Sellers.
Alaska Root Sellers. That's right. Yeah. And so now it's Arctic Harvest Deliveries. And so how many farmers are you buying from out here in the valley?
I work with about 12 or so farmers on a regular basis, okay. Sometimes a couple more here and there.
Okay. Is there room for more? Are you looking for more farmers?
Yeah, I'm always looking for more farmers.
Okay. Very good. And then how many stops do you make in Anchorage? How many restaurants do you go to?
I work with around 20 different restaurants. Not all of those are stops every day.
Okay.
But yeah, depending on the winter time, it definitely goes down to, you know, six or so, but in the summer it can be up to, you know, 20.
Nice. And you mentioned grocery stores. What grocery stores are you delivering to?
I was working with the Natural Pantry a little bit.
Okay.
But yeah, I mostly do restaurants right now.
Okay. Yeah. I went to Natural Pantry for lunch yesterday. Oh my God. I wish we had a Natural Pantry-ish store out here in the valley.
Yeah,
it's so nice. That food court is amazing. Okay, so you work with 12 growers, 20 some restaurants, and how many days a week are you delivering fresh valley produce into those restaurants?
Last year I was doing twice a week, and this year we're expanding, so we're going to jump to 3 days a week for restaurants, and then we'll have one day for CSA deliveries.
Very cool.
Yeah.
That's awesome. So I love to give a shout out to restaurants that are sourcing local food. So unfair question. I don't expect you to be able to name all 12, but let's talk about some of those restaurants that are sourcing local. Who's doing it?
Yeah. Beartooth is a big one.
Oh yeah. They've always been a good supporter of local food.
Yeah, they've been really awesome going out of their way to get products even through the winter as well.
And they do a great job of telling their customers too. They always have it on their menus and up on their boards, you know, what they're featuring. That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, so yeah, they're really awesome to work with. Bridge Seafood, they're open just mostly in the summer during the tourist season, but they've been a huge supporter as well.
Chef Patrick, is he still there? Chef Hugerheide?
Yeah.
I adore him. He's the best. He makes the best seafood creations, I think, in the state. I'm biased, but anyways, go ahead. I keep interrupting you.
It's okay. I got to eat there for the first time this summer, and it was awesome.
Amazing, right?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I also work with Spinard Roadhouse.
Oh, yeah.
I'm blanking. I haven't done deliveries here for a couple months now.
Sure, right? Because it's April. Yeah.
Not a lot left, but...
When will you start up again making, like, What I think I know the answer to this question, but when will you start getting produce, more of the produce from farmers here in the Valley? When is that going to be available?
I'm going to start up with deliveries again in May, just with like potatoes and beets and a couple storage crops that are left.
Okay.
Just to kind of get things moving. And then we'll really have the CSA starts the first week of July. So that's when things are really, really going. But yeah, I'll be doing deliveries starting in May.
So. Okay. Let's talk about that side of it a little bit, your CSA. So you are buying vegetables from local farmers, boxing it up, and then delivering it to your customers, right? To your individual households or?
I have a drop site. So I'm going to have 6 drop sites in Anchorage this year, adding a couple more this year.
Yeah.
And then one in Eagle River. So that's pretty exciting.
Yeah.
Yeah, so folks can, they can sign up and then they pick which drop site they want to pick up from for the summer.
And, do you do customized boxes or is it one size fits all?
Yeah, for right now it's one size fits all. We have a weekly and a biweekly option. So folks don't want to get a box every week. So yeah, we just try to do a really good variety of stuff in the boxes to kind of keep it interesting each week. So.
And last year, how many CSA customers did you have?
Do you remember? I had 60 this winter.
Through the winter, you had 60?
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome, Kyla.
Yeah.
Great work.
We're trying to get 100 folks signed up for the summer. I think that'll be doable.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah. Look
at
you.
Exciting.
Very cool. So we've talked about, you know, a lot of the different options that people have. If you're a grower and you're interested, or if you're a restaurant and you're interested, or a potential CSA customer, where do people go to find more information about all of this?
You can go to my website at arcticharvestak.com.
Okay.
And find more info there. We're also on Facebook, so you can check us out there.
All right. And I was trying to find your website yesterday, and I don't know if this is a non-Alaskan thing, but I tend to try and spell the word Arctic without the first C. So I was like, Arctic Harvest.
And
I was like,
before with
where
emails.
Is that website? Why isn't it there? And then I was like, oh yeah, Arctic Harvest. So arcticharvestak.com to find more information. And if I wanted to sign up for a CSA box, is that where I would go to?
Yep. Yeah, signups aren't open yet. They're hopefully going to be opening up later this week. So, but that's where people can sign up.
Okay.
Yeah, there's a link there.
Awesome. Very, very cool. Yeah. Another thing I was thinking about with the restaurant deliveries and the grocery stores and even the farmers. So how do you handle the logistics? Is this all web-based? Do folks, like, does a farmer fill out an email about what he has available, or does a restaurant send you an email asking for what they want, or are you doing all this via the phone or an app, or how are you doing all this?
So right now I'm pretty much just working. I see my farmers on a weekly basis when I'm picking stuff up, so I'm able to kind of figure out what they have each week, or I'll call them and just see what they have available.
Okay.
And then I kind of create a list I send out to all my restaurants and wholesale members or wholesale customers of what I have available that week
that
they can order. So it's just kind of an aggregated list.
Okay.
It's not listed by farm or anything, but if they are interested in which farms things are coming from, I'm happy to tell them so they can list it on their menu
that,
or tell their customers.
Yeah.
So then they restaurants would then order through me either – whatever way works for them, just email, phone, text, whatever. Yeah.
Very good. So you are, that's a lot of work. That's a lot of work. Maintaining all that. I know that when I worked at the Division of Agriculture and we were trying to get more restaurants to source more local food, that was one of the bigger headaches, is that the restaurants didn't want to have to call 7 different farmers to get what they were looking for. So you're kind of providing that service of they just have to call you.
Yeah.
And then they have access to all those farms. So we've talked about the restaurants and the grocery stores. What farmers? Let's hear some of the farmers that you're working with here in the Valley.
Yeah. I work with Vanderweel Farms, of course. Bush's Bunches a lot. Spring Creek Farm.
Oh, yeah.
APU Farm. I work with Stockwell Farm, Palmer Produce, or with Kenley's a little bit.
So a wide variety of stuff.
Yeah.
Are you, so all produce, or are there any other options? Like, are you sourcing any meat products or dairy products or any of that? Or are you just sticking to produce?
Yeah, I do meat products as well for wholesale. Yeah, I do beef and pork right now. I'm hoping to maybe expand that a little bit. Maybe chickens potentially this year.
Very cool.
And then for the CSA, similar, so folks can sign up to get the veggie boxes, and then members can add on items like on a week-to-week basis. So chicken, eggs, honey, different options like that, all local stuff. And then also there's kind of bigger options to order meat and pork and beef as
well.
Wow. Yeah.
Very cool. Yeah. And what growers are you, what on the livestock side of things, what growers are you working with? Are you looking for more or?
Right now I'm working with, well, Misty Mountain or Muggeridge Farms in Delta for beef and, Van Wy in Sutton for, pork. Terry. Yeah.
Very good.
Yeah.
Great product.
Yeah. I've heard awesome, awesome reviews of the pork from some restaurants I've delivered to. They said it was just amazing.
Well, that's
super sweet.
Good.
Yeah.
So Kyla, this is not easy work. You're kind of blazing a new trail. You're, there's nobody to call and ask, how do I do this? So why did you want to do this? Like, what inspired you to take this on?
Well, I've been interested in ag and food. I kind of got interested in college and just kind of was trying to figure out what exactly I wanted to do, if I wanted to be a farmer, or what. So I worked on some farms. Kind of was like, this is hard work. So I'm like, I don't want to do this full time. Like, I mean, I have a ton of respect for farmers, but yeah, it's really hard work. And so, you know, I was trying to figure out what I wanted to do. And yeah, I mean, this came up and talking with Dave, and it just seemed like a really great opportunity to kind of, you know, move the local food network in Alaska forward. And
yeah.
I wasn't like, I'm like, oh, distribution, I don't know, that doesn't sound super exciting, but I absolutely love it. Like, it's great. I get to like know all the exciting things that are happening, who has what,
right.
Just talk to people about all the cool stuff going on. So
yeah. Is this your third year or your fourth year?
This will be the third year.
Your third year.
Yeah.
Awesome. That is so cool. Yeah. I remember hearing, you know, 'cause Dave had kind of tried this a couple times, but because he's also a chef, he was always, you know, getting big calls to go, you know, cook meals for Dave Matthews Band or something crazy. So he was never really that focused on it. And so I remember when there was one summer where there was a real lax and those deliveries just weren't really happening. And then I remember hearing that you were going to buy the business and take it on. I was so excited, and I'm so glad that it's working and you're expanding and the CSA opportunity. That's really incredible. Good for you. Like,
thanks.
Yeah. That's huge.
I mean, no one's more excited about it than me because it's just, it's awesome.
Yeah. And it's working.
It is.
You bought yourself a truck, right? Like, you have your delivery truck and
the big yellow truck.
Yeah. I see you. And I'm like, oh, yay, there goes Kyla. I need to find you a grant so we can get an artist to paint the side of that truck or something.
That'd be awesome.
Wouldn't that be cool?
Yeah.
You have a great logo, by the way. I love your logo. People can check that out. I snagged a picture of it and put it on Facebook today, and it's on your website. So our time is almost up already. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
Like, and so the phone's going to ring with Cindy here soon. I just want to remind folks that we're talking to Kyla Byers on Ag Matters Radio this morning about her couple of businesses, Arctic Harvest Deliveries, CSA, and restaurant deliveries, et cetera. So what's next? I know you're just getting ready for this harvest season, but what's on the horizon? What are you dreaming towards, or what are you setting your mind towards for the next big thing?
Well, there's kind of an exciting partnership. The Cook Inlet Keeper contacted me, and they're running an online food hub down in the Kenai Peninsula.
Yeah.
And they contacted me about kind of partnering to help run a online food hub out of Anchorage. So we're talking about maybe trialing that this summer, if we can get it together. And so that could be another really cool option, folks to order directly from producers. Producers could put up items that they had each week. And it kind of would just facilitate the logistics and the delivery into Anchorage of those items.
Wow, that's incredible. I have followed the Kenai Peninsula Local Food Hub since its inception, and it's in its second year this year, right?
I believe so.
Last year was the inaugural year, and what an incredible resource that is for both the growers and consumers down on the peninsula. So that's great that they want to expand up here.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what would that just kind of roll into your business as well? Or would it be two separate options for people?
It'd be two separate options. Yeah.
Okay.
So they'd kind of run it. The idea was that they already have this really nice software, and they have, you know, all the admin stuff on there. And so it would just kind of be adding Anchorage into that as an option for customers to choose from. So they'd be going through the food hub. They have to rename it, but it's the Kenai Peninsula Food Hub. So if you see that around the summer, don't be thrown off, because if we do get the trial going for Anchorage. But so I forgot where I was going with that.
But that's incredible. You know, that will open up a lot more resources on both sides of the equation. So I'm excited to hear more, and I'll follow your Facebook page, et cetera, to see if that happens or when that happens. Because that software that Cook Inlet Keeper purchased to launch that Kenai Peninsula local food hub is amazing. It's super user-friendly on both sides. So if a farmer has strawberries today, they can just log into their side of it and say, hey, I've got X amount of strawberries. And it's like a retail store in and of itself, wherein once 5 customers come through and buy all the strawberries and the strawberries are gone, the system knows and turns it. I mean, so it's super valuable.
Yeah.
I am guessing this is Cindy calling in.
Hello, this is Cindy.
Good morning, Cindy.
Good morning.
How are you? This is Amy talking. You're going to hear a couple different voices.
Okay, this is great.
Well, thanks so much for calling in. I've also got Kyla still in the studio here with me. I know she wants to talk about this famous farmer that's coming to Alaska, so I'm going to keep her here.
Great.
Yeah, so let's just jump right in. Who is coming to Alaska? Who's this famous farmer coming to Alaska in May?
Yeah, it's Joel Salatin. A lot of people maybe have read his books or heard about him. He calls himself a Christian, libertarian, environmentalist, capitalist, lunatic farmer.
I am not even going to try and repeat that, but I am super excited that Joel Salatin is coming to Alaska. So,
yeah, some people call him the most famous farmer in the whole world, but I don't know.
Yeah, you know, he's definitely famous, but I know that I have mentioned it to a couple farmers here in the Valley. I'm like, hey, you know, Joel Salatin is coming to Alaska. And they're like, they look at me and they say, who?
Oh, really?
Just a couple. But yeah.
Okay, well, good.
Yeah. So, Cindy, before we jump into the details about Joel, tell us a little bit about you, because I started the show mentioning that you are with the Alaska Cold Climate Permaculture Institute, right?
That's
Did I get it all in there?
You did.
Okay, so tell us just a little bit about that.
Sure. So the Cold Climate Permaculture Institute is because I've had a lifelong question since I grew up in Alaska, before the pipeline, and seen all these changes that have happened. But my lifelong question is, can Alaskans really live in Alaska sustainably?
Oh, okay.
And so when I retired from teaching eighth grade in North Pole, we moved south. And I decided to start that question, and it followed me on a trail to permaculture, which is what Joel Salatin does at his farm too.
Well, I'm gonna stop you right there. What's permaculture? What is it?
It's basically a design tool, and it starts with ethics: care of the earth, care of people, and then the return the surplus to the system is really an interesting one, because that tells us, some of us call it fair share, returning, making sure everybody gets part of the whatever you're doing.
Okay.
So if it's farming, then you return the surplus to the system.
Okay.
So that's pretty interesting. It relates to composting. It relates to, you know, giving your carrots to the food bank or whatever.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah.
So not just the closed system of your own farm, but the community system, the system as a whole, et cetera.
Exactly. You know, I've run into several farmers that have said, yeah, I went out to the bush and I decided to just do it by myself. And they've come back after 3 years broke and hungry and ready to say for true, you can't do it by yourself.
Yeah. Yeah.
You have to do it with other people. And so, yeah, so that's part of what permaculture is.
Okay,
very
cool.
And then I became an instructor, so we're doing classes as often as we can. So,
okay, so where can listeners and the rest of us, where can we go to find out more about the Cold Climate Permaculture Institute?
AlaskaPermaculture.com.
Okay, very good.
Yeah.
Are you also on social media?
Exactly. There is a social media site up as well as the bioshelter site. I won't get into that, but I live in a house that recycles all its water and waste.
So, oh, a topic for another day.
I know, right?
I'll have to have you on the show sometime to talk more about that. I'm always interested in that, particularly this time of the year and for the next couple of months while we go through breakup. And on our farm, there's so much snow melting, and I just watch all this water go away, And then I think about later in the year when, you know, the fields start to dry out or whatever. And I'm just, I've thought about it a couple of times. Like, what if we captured all that water?
Exactly.
Think of what we could do. All right. So I'll have to have you back on some other time, but let's jump into Joel's visit. So why is Joel Salatin coming to Alaska?
Well, I think it's very, very cool. The Alaska Design Forum, with the middle name of design, decided one of their issues is that they want to make us more resilient in Alaska. As you probably know, we're importing 95% of our food.
Right.
And so they thought, and they assigned it to Michelle Hayworth. She just went out and said, okay, what can we do about this? They had a series coming up called Nostalgia, going back to the day. And she found Joel Salatin, and he was willing to come up, and it kind of fell into place.
Wow.
So it was really cool to have something not doing anything with farming, really.
Right,
but they're interested in design, and they saw that there was a problem with our design system of how to get food to market.
Sure.
And said, let's find somebody that can actually talk about that.
Yeah,
so,
very cool.
It was very cool.
I know I sit on the governing board of the Alaska Food Policy Council, and we have dreamed about Joel Salatin, about what if we could get Joel to come to Alaska. But, you know, it's expensive work, and Food Policy Council is kind of a small little nonprofit with barely a bank account at this point. And so it was just something that we couldn't bring to fruition. So when we heard that the Design Forum was kind of footing the bill to bring Joel up here, we're so excited about that. So how can people find out more about Joel's visit? And let's tell us that part, how people can find out more, and then what all is Joel doing while he's here?
Right. So the Alaska Design Forum has a website, and you just go to www.alaskadesignforum.org.
Okay.
And then you click on Joel Salatin, and you can see all the different events. It's kind of tricky on there. You have to make sure that you don't buy the ticket for Fairbanks. You buy the ticket for Anchorage.
Oh, right, because he's making multiple stops, right?
He's making multiple stops here and in Fairbanks and in Juneau. And each of those cities have different issues, so they've tailored his talks to different I know the Fairbanks one is micro-farming.
Okay.
And so I'd kind of like to drive up there for that one, too, but I don't think I'll have time.
Yeah.
So he's coming to all three of the big cities, and you can get your tickets on the Alaska Design Forum website. And while he's here in Anchorage, he's doing a talk, and that's a $20 thing at the museum.
Okay.
And he is a funny speaker, if you've ever heard him talk. So
I think if you Google him and then you click on images instead of news, just the pictures of him that are out there on the internet, you can tell he's quite the character. And
he has a lot of YouTube videos too, so you can kind of get the feel.
Yeah. We were talking about it the other day at a community event. Someone brought this up, and Ellen Vandevies, she mentioned that he has this incredible lecture video. Like, it's almost like you can take a course from Joel, but it's you know, it's quite expensive if you want to purchase all of that, but quite a few of the libraries in Alaska actually have it, and you can check it out. And the library here in Palmer, Ellen had convinced them years ago to purchase that. And so if you're interested in learning more or taking his course, reading his books, I know it's at least available here at the Palmer Library.
I think there's two. Ellen got two sets, and I can't remember for sure where they are, but in a library alone.
Yeah.
You can get them. That to you, yeah.
Yeah, so
that
he's... go ahead.
Yeah, that first one will be an inspirational talk, probably, and you'll go home inspired to learn more about Joel.
Okay.
And he's doing a workshop, and that will be on Thursday.
We're talking about the Anchorage one still?
The Anchorage one,
okay.
Yeah. And the workshop, then, is going to be about designing our food web here. And what I found out in just trying to get people to attend that is that there's a lot of issues going on in the farming world about how to design a food web.
Sure.
And the what's happened in the past is that people run a single thread from the farm to the restaurant. When that thread is broken, then that connection falls apart.
Sure.
So what Joel is proposing and what the Design Forum is thinking is if we started bringing those threads in different directions. So it's more like a spider web, so that if one thing gets cut, then there's a resilience there, and we can bounce back. Right now, if the barges don't come, we're kind of up the creek.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. How are we going to eat? So Kyla, are you going to be there? Are you going to be at some of these lectures or workshops, or are you going to, cause you're part of this web, right?
Yeah. I already signed up, and Cindy, had actually asked me to be a panelist as well.
Awesome.
So
at the workshop night or the lecture night or one
at
of
the workshop.
Yeah.
Workshop.
I was like, I think the workshop.
Very good. Very good.
Well, that's the cool thing too, is that the workshop, Joel is, we don't want him just to come in and do his little thing and leave and have no, no effect. And so
right.
we put, Kyla's on the panel as a deliverer of food.
Yeah.
And we have, Alex Davis, and he's a farmer's market guy.
Good.
And we have Mark Rempel, who's a farmer.
Very good.
And we are still working on the chef. So we'll have different voices of our community on the different parts and how to connect everybody together. And hopefully it'll just be a first conversation. It'll go on from there.
Absolutely. This is so good. So if folks are interested in learning more, again, they can go to, you said, alaskadesignforum.org, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep.
And we'll put links to that on our
awesome.
Social media and website as well. The Alaska Farmland Trust is very interested in this. We're actually one of the sponsors for the Dine by Design dinner that's going to happen with Joel, because obviously we want to see more farming and food production in this state, and we're all about sustainability with the transition of land ownership, et cetera. So we're a big fan of Joel's and excited that he's coming and got on board in a sponsorship level. So
exactly. And if other farms or whoever wants to sponsor a table, there's still a couple of tables left for that. And that would be a great way to support this whole thing, because it's costing an arm and a leg. So,
yeah. Yeah. When you're the world's most famous farmer, you can charge a fee to talk, and that's good. good for Joel. No qualms about that, but
right.
it does cost money to put these things on. So
exactly.
I think we've talked about it being, next month, and we've talked about the website, but specifically the dates are like May 1st through 5th, right? Is when he's traveling around throughout Alaska.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
And there's still tickets available, in all locations, to your knowledge?
To my knowledge, it's true. They need a lot more people in Juneau. So if you know friends in Juneau,
okay.
Send them to the website and see if they can get signed up, because last night there were only 5 people going to the workshop.
Oh, man. We got to change that. Incredible opportunity to be face to face with Joel. So we don't want people to miss out on that. We'll
Great.
Share that with our friends at Southeast Partnership, et cetera, and see if we can't drum up some more interest.
Great.
Okay. So what else? What else about Joel coming up have we not covered? We've talked about where people can find out more and that there's workshops and lectures and dinners.
Well, we might want to say to any farmers or even any food growers that are growing, why would they even come to this? Because
right.
he has this huge 550-acre farm. But what's cool about him is that he is using a diversified farming, is what he calls it.
Right.
And so he's talking about stacking functions, we call it, in permaculture. So if you're doing chickens, how can you add one more thing to the system to give more yield, to get more food out of the deal? So you could add, I don't know, I'm just thinking off the top of my head, worms.
Sure.
You know, and then you could sell worms to the different farmers markets or whatever. So it's not just about big farming. It's about
sure.
how you can diversify and then how you can get those things to market. I mean, he does salad bar beef. So
salad bar beef.
I know. I think he slices it. We'll have to ask him when he gets
yeah,
here.
Yeah, I look forward to
he
hearing more about
it,
that.
Right, and sells it like that so that he gets more of a market.
Oh,
so
more value, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I am so sad to say it already, but our half an hour is up. It has buzzed by. The Palmer whistle is about to blow for 8:00, and our show is over. So,
oh,
yeah, I know it goes so fast. I know. But Kyla and Cindy, thank you so much for joining me on Ag Matters Radio this morning. I really encourage people to jump out there and check out more about both topics, Arctic Harvest Deliveries and the Cold Climate Permaculture Institute. And, of course, Joel Salatin's visit. Join us at one of those events. Thank you both, and
thank you,
have
Amy.
A great
Thanks,
day.
Amy.
Bye, Kyla.
Bye, Cindy.